I am the special representative of the Secretary General on Sexual Violence and Conflicts. My office was created 2009 through a Security Council resolution, which requested the Secretary General to appoint a high-level officer at the level of Under-Secretary General to actually bring coherent and strategic leadership on the issue of conflict-related sexual violence. And I think the foundation of my work was laid with Resolution 1325, which agreed that conflicts affect women disproportionately, and therefore certain action needs to be taken to address it. And South Sudan, as we all know, has been affected by sexual violence, which is a key feature of the conflict, as the Commission of Inquiry of the African Union stated, and it's one of 19 countries that are actually addressing the Secretary General's report. So this is my second visit, and the first visit was to actually ensure that we have political will. So I engaged the government, and I was able to have an agreement with the president, signed by the president, and also a commitment from the now vice president, at that time opposition, Dr. Riek Machar, to ensure that their troops, which are listed, is one of very few countries where sexual violence in the conflicts have been committed by the military and by the police, and of course in here by the rebel. I mean, we have the case of Cote d'Ivoire, we have the case of DRC, we have the case of Syria, but majority of the sexual violence are committed by non-state actors.
And you mentioned the joint communique, and you mentioned the implementation plan. So where are we when it comes to these two issues?
To be honest, it has been extremely slow in taking action since the agreement was signed. I actually had several discussions with the president. At that time, since there were ongoing conflicts, and the president continued to say, please be patient. But every time human rights reports, amnesty reports, Human Rights Watch comes out, it clearly spells out that these crimes are still being committed by the military. So now that the National Government of Unity is set up, it is important for us to come to reinforce the commitment that has been made by the president and by Dr. Riek Machar to put in place mechanism to make sure that we address the crimes that have been committed. The people who have committed those crimes actually can, if possible, be tried, and to work ways and means in which to prevent its re-happening, to ensure that it's actually included in all DDR, in security sector reforms. As you are aware, most recent resolution in the Security Council says that if peacekeepers continue to, if armed groups continue to be listed, National Army, in our report annex, they cannot go into peacekeeping. So it becomes extremely difficult. The issue of accountability has been re-emphasized over and over by the Security Council members. So I'm here to re-echo the voice of the Secretary General, the Security Council, and members that what has happened is unacceptable. And the crimes that have taken place, especially against women, girls, and boys, is unacceptable. On my last visit, I visited Bentiu, and I spoke to survivors, people who have been affected by sexual violence being committed in Bentiu. And I think in my statement when I left this country, I said this is one of the worst experiences I've ever got in my life because of a combination of reasons, the conditions in which the women live, the lack of services for the victims of sexual violence, and the lack of accountability mechanism. And I think that's what we're pushing for.
After first meetings, what are the expectations from the government?
It's still, I think the first thing that shocks you is that the government has just been formed, even as simple as complimentary cards, the ministers don't have because they are 3 days in the office. But at least it's important for them to realize how important this issue is. I've met the Minister of Foreign Affairs. I've met the Minister of State in the President's office because he's a high focal representative that actually represents the government in this issue. And they were very supportive. They were very happy. And I think they realized that they do have limitations and that crimes have been committed, and they will work they will help to work with us.
So in Sierra Leone, we had one way of addressing war crimes, and especially these particular crimes that you're referring to and working with. In Liberia, there was another issue. So what do you see as a resolution?
The international community has agreed that there has to be an accountability mechanism. They are working towards a hybrid court. The Human Rights Council has made recommendations. The African Union, I spoke to the Legal Council, I've been working with them within the last 2 years since I visited here, on how we can work together. The consensus is there that the crimes that have been committed in southern Sudan are so bad that we really need to ensure that it becomes part of the reconciliation and the peace-building process. Peace-building takes time. It's difficult for me to say we're out of the woods because the new government was just formed about a week ago. The ministers have just taken their offices. Working together itself creates tension and are actually areas of conflict. The important thing is the willingness of the parties to give peace a chance, to understand that the people of South Sudan have suffered. It is also the responsibility of the international community to be able to support them as much as they can, to help them. But at the end of the day, it is when the people of South Sudan, especially the politicians of South Sudan, want peace that will have peace. That's the reality. I come from a post-conflict country. I worked in Liberia, you know, and my mandate takes me around the world from Colombia to Bosnia to Syria to Iraq to DRC to Central African Republic. And at the end of the day, there has to be political will. Political will to make a difference, political will to move forward, and political will to be able to build a country. So it's for the South Sudanese, their people and the government that needs to work together. Peace is not accidental. It happens when people decide to work together, to learn to forgive, to learn to accept, to learn to understand that things that have been done have been wrong, and to be able to move forward. I think it's a very complex and difficult situation. But our job as an international community is to work with them, to go behind them, to encourage them, to support them, and if possible, to help them if it's so required.
What is your final message to the victims of sexual violence in South Sudan and to all the people of South Sudan?
Rape in conflict is a crime not only against an individual, it's a crime against a family, it's a crime against community, it's a war crime. It's almost an act of genocide. And so for me, I say to all the victims of South Sudan, first to the politicians, that they have a responsibility to go after the people who committed this crime. Whoever they are, wherever they are, they must be punished. Because that's the only way we can bring an end to impunity. People who commit this crime must know that wherever they are, whoever they become, they must be held accountable. Nobody is above the law. I think for me, that's the principle number one. So there has to be thorough investigation. And I hope that the government of South Sudan, the commitment they have made, the two parties have made, they can actually adhere to it. Second is to build the rule of law. The people of South Sudan have suffered for too long. We have to put an end to impunity. The people have to learn to live in peace, in a security environment. Thirdly, we have to do everything possible to provide the support, medical, psychosocial support to the victims of sexual violence, their families and their communities. Because if we don't, reconciliation becomes extremely difficult and this society has to be reconciled and unified. And so the victims need to feel part of the society. They do not need to be on the shadow, in the background, because they have been victimized. Because normally the stigma is on the victims instead of the perpetrators. We have to learn to stigmatize perpetrators, people who commit this crime, to let them know they don't fit within us. They are not acceptable citizens of any community. If you can go ahead and kill women and rape them and gang rape them and rape 5-year-old children, 2-year-old children, it's unacceptable. So we have to give a voice to the victim. My job is to give a face and a voice to the victim, and I'll continue saying that. And I think they have to be the center of any activity we do. We have to have a victim-centered approach. We have to support them. We have to provide the necessary and sometimes livelihood support, because some victims have been actually abandoned by their families, ostracized by community. We have to bring them back. My best example is with the Yazidis. With everything that's happening with the Yazidis in Iraq, the spiritual leader, Baba Sheikh, stood up and said, "These are our children. We have to protect them, we have to bring them back." And that's how you see Yazidi girls are being bought back from ISIS, paid for by the Yazidi community, because they need to bring them back to actually reconcile them with the community. So that's what I'm asking South Sudan to do the same.